today on Living on Every Word.
Even as you gave him, the Son, authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, watch, he may give eternal life. He says, listen, I've given them eternal life. How many of you believe that you've been given eternal life today? But the question is, am I walking that eternal life out?
In John 17, Jesus prays that we might have eternal life. But beyond a life that goes on forever, just what does that mean? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher begins to explain this gift of eternal life in part one of What God Gives.
And Lord, as we spend just a few more minutes, we open the Word this morning and discover the things that you have declared that you have given to us, that you have given to the church of the living God, which are we who are in Christ. That, Father, that our praying for our church, praying for the church corporately and yet, Father, the church internationally, that we would pray according to the will and the heart of Jesus that we find in John 17. And Lord, I just ask that over the next few weeks, that as we discover how you prayed, that we would join you and hear you and pray the very same things that you prayed for the disciples in that first century, but also that you prayed for those that would come to believe on your name through their word, and that's us. Oh God, I just ask we would discover in these days the heart of God for your church. And that, Lord, we'd pray those heart things. We'd pray those things that came out of your lips and out of your heart. And that we'd walk according to Scripture today, according to the revelation that was given to us. And we praise you for that and we thank you for it. So come, Lord, teach us to pray. Last week, to pray for our children. This week and the coming weeks, to pray for one another. And may we be found on our knees. May we be found declaring our love and our life and our worship to you, but also bringing before you the requests, Lord, that you placed upon our hearts. Come, teach us to pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. What's so great about this passage of Scripture is that Jesus prayed, and he often prayed aloud, and some of those prayers that he prayed aloud were captured by his disciples, especially Matthew and especially John in this passage of Scripture. And it was caught by them, and they heard it. And they had asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. Show us what to say, and show us how to do that. We want to know how to communicate like you communicate. Oftentimes, Jesus would say things like, well, like he said at the tomb of Lazarus, when he said, when Lazarus was dead and Jesus was coming to bring life to his dead corpse, and he would say in John 11:44, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. You have heard me. Now, to me, that's so compelling. If you're following Jesus and he's praying and you're seeing that the Father is listening to Christ and hearing him and you're seeing prayers answered that Jesus had prayed, that's compelling enough to say, hey, we want a part of that. We want to be a part of this kind of prayer movement, this prayer kind of lifestyle that we understand and know that God hears us when we pray. How many of you believe that God hears you when you pray? Yes. And that compels us to even greater depths and greater places to say, God, teach us more about this thing called prayer. Teach us about good motives and pure motives before you. Teach us to ask and show us what to ask because we want to line up with who you are and what you're doing in this world. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I see Jesus speaking these things and God hearing. And I'm also reminded that Paul will come to teach that this prayer, Jesus, the Son of God, is this high priest who still intercedes for you and for me. He's still praying. He's still asking.
And it's my prayer for us as a church body that we move in the places that Christ desires for us and God desires for us, and we pray the very things that He prays. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking how Jesus prayed and asking God to lead us in those kinds of requests. Notice in verse 1, Jesus spoke these things and lifting His eyes to heaven, He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son as the Son, so that the Son may glorify You, even as You gave Him, the Son, authority over all flesh, that to all whom You have given Him," watch, "He may give eternal life." Eternal life. "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You've sent. I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work which You've given Me to do. Now, Father, glorify Me together with Yourself with the glory which I had with You before the world was." Now, what's going to be interesting later in the prayer, He's going to say, that glory that we had, I have given it to them. I have given them this glory. What blows me away as a man, as a person seeking Christ, is that I would hear that prayer, that God, the glory that God had with Jesus before the foundation of the world, that He would come and give that same glory to you and to me. What a great thought. Oh God, release within us a faith to believe that the glory that You give to the disciples, You give to all disciples. You give to us. And what I want to say is the very things that Christ has already given, that's what I'm seeking. That's what I want to ask for. Because He says, listen, I've given them eternal life. How many of you believe that you've been given eternal life today? Amen? Yeah. But the question is am I walking that eternal life out? You know, when I look at this whole thought of eternal life, eternal means without end. That's the meaning of eternal. It doesn't end. And I think sometimes we get so concentrated with the eternal thing of never ending. And so we come to Christ, we pray the prayer, and we have this thought of forever and ever with Jesus. But you know what life means here? It's life, the word in the Greek is zoe. And it's used of a life as a principle, life as God has it, that which the Father has in Himself, which He gave to the Son to have in Himself, which He gives to you and to me. It's the life of God. It's the life of the Father. When you come to this word life, eternal life, abundant life, it's the quality of life. It's not the quantity of life. It's not the linear thing that goes on and on and on. What's concentrated in the Scripture is the very life that we have and the very life that we possess. And we possess eternal life. We possess this life that has quality. It's the same life that God breathed into Adam, into Eve, when they became life, when they became living beings. It was the breath and the life of God that He breathed into them. Thus, you were created in the image of God. This is eternal life. The life of God in us that lasts forever and ever and ever. And I want you to notice what He says. He says, this eternal life is knowing God. It's knowing Jesus. That's the core of this eternal life. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 on the screen, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Notice it again. What do I want to know? I want to know Jesus. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of this resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. There's a death here. It's a spiritual death. It's a dying to self. It's a dying to the world. It's a dying to Mike Fritcher or fill in the blank. To know Him, and to know Him in the power of His resurrection, I must come to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings and being conformed to His death. It means that I die to self so that I might live to Him and have this knowing relationship with God and with Christ Jesus. Eternal life is relationship. So we come to verses of Scripture that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. We come to these kinds of passages of Scripture that speak of life change and being more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I love about it is it's a life that says, where God says, here's this life. Here's this life, and it's for you. And it's for you every single day of your life. Not just some place in the distance, but right now. Jesus said in John 10 on the screen, He said, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Same word, God life. And that word abundant means to super overflow in your life. And sometimes it's found in the hard places, and sometimes it's found in the easy places. Sometimes it's found in grief. Sometimes it's found in great joy. You know, I was thinking of this passage of Scripture this week, and as I was just meditating on it, I was thinking about this thing called life, God life. And I know that there's some situations in your life and in my life that sometimes I wonder, where's the abundant life in this? You may have some circumstances going on that you're waiting for the abundant life, but you just see something different working. And we're waiting for life to come, and we're waiting for life to enter this. We're waiting for the light to hit the darkness, the peace to hit the chaos. We're waiting for it sometimes in some areas of our lives. In other areas, yeah, there's life and it's flowing. But then there's those other areas that there just seems like this thief is coming and he's killing and he's stealing and he's destroying and he's taken away. But yet Jesus would say, listen, the reason why I came is that I might give you this life. And I want to say this, that every situation that you go through in life has this great opportunity to find life in it, not death. And I want to ask you, church, are you finding life? And are you bringing life, the very life that you have today, to dark places and to dark situations and struggles? Or are we choosing the taker by walking in agreement with what the taker does and what the taker asks and what the taker says? Or are we lining up our lives to what the giver of life says, to what the giver of life has offered and given? And I think so often is that every single day I have this choice, and this choice is to bring life and not to bring death. To see this abundance, this exceeding abundance, this over and above, more than that's necessary that God gives to me. Am I bringing that? But like every gift you have, and this gift of eternal life, and I'm not talking about, listen, you've come to Christ, yeah, there's this salvation that takes place in your life, but what's happening since then, right? And eternal life begins the day you came to Christ. And it's not like just some experience that I had way back there, and I got that straight back there, and then I'm struggling to find what I need to find here today. No, it's for me today. It's for you and me today. How many times have I heard this, that, man, I just wish it was like it was when I first came to Jesus? Well, I want to tell you, it can be better than when you first came to Jesus. Because the Bible says that we're to shine brighter and brighter, right? Like the rising sun. This life, it is a journey. It is filled with struggle and filled with uncertainty and filled with wrestling. But He promises God life. And the question is will I choose it, and will I bring that life to places where there is no life? I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses is giving a last charge, and he's instructing God's people to choose this abundant life, to choose this eternal life. And you know, what I really want to ask of you today, more than anything, is that we would be an eternal life church. An eternal life church. Lives filled with God. You know, we often think of this abundant life of getting all our needs met and all our wants met and all the things that, you know, whether it's clothing and whether it's food or whether it's career and money and all those things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the life God desires to give you, no matter what you're wearing, no matter what you're eating, and no matter what season you are in your career. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
What matters is the life that's coming forth from God into us and the life that we are to give away. And he says it. He says, verse 15, I'm setting before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live, and that you may multiply, and that the land and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you're entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you don't obey, but you're drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you that you shall surely perish. You'll not prolong your days in the land where you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For this is your life and length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Life and blessing, death and adversity. It's a choice. It's a choice that I'm going to hear the giver of life and walk according to him, or I'm going to listen to the taker of life and live according to his way. And I don't know about you, but I've had enough experience with the taker to say, I don't want any of that. I don't want to be lulled into his philosophy, into his word, and to what I'm and the way I'm supposed to respond his way. I've had enough of that. But I want to respond to the giver of life and choose life today and be an eternal life man, to have an eternal life marriage, to be a part of an eternal life church. It's choosing life by loving God and listening to him and obeying. There's things that we feel like God's calling us to do that we don't want to do. But yet he spurs us on. He spurs us on to love. He spurs us on to forgive. He spurs us on to give the kind word. He spurs us on to not grumble and complain, but to be thankful. He spurs us on to life. This is the giver of life. And you get to choose it every day. And what I love about this is that he says, this is the eternal life. I've given it to them. It's in their lives. And I'm giving them this glory so that they may manifest it. So that they may manifest it. You and I may do that. An eternal life man, an eternal life woman, an eternal life family, bringing life to every situation. Now, you know that you're going to have circumstances this week that are going to rattle you. And you're not going to like them. But let me ask you, will you bring life to that? Or will you walk along with the taker and respond the way that he'd have you respond? Now, you know, I've got this great little story here in Scripture. It's in Acts chapter 16. It's how the disciples chose life. It's how Paul chose life, Acts chapter 16. Now, that's a familiar verse to some of you who are familiar with your Bible, but they are in Europe now, and they're bringing the word. And they come to this place called Philippi, and they've had this vision, this called the Macedonian vision, and they're saying, and the Macedonian vision, the folks are saying to Paul, come over and help us, come over. And so they go and they start preaching the word, and they have this demon-possessed woman or girl following them, just making all kinds of distractions for them. And she's following, and it's real interesting because she keeps saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Now that's a demon speaking, isn't that something? But it gets annoying. Because she's shouting it and she's speaking it, and they can't speak what they're wanting to speak, and so they turn around and they cast the demon out. Well, she's kind of a fortune teller gal, and her owners get money off of it, and all of a sudden they realize they don't have the demon on her anymore, and they're going to lose profit. So they get mad and they beat these guys. They beat Paul and they beat Silas. And they throw him in jail. Look at verse 22. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them, proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks.
Okay, now let me just say this. First of all, they're walking streets of darkness, and they're bringing life and light to Philippi. You've got people coming to Christ. And you know, in this missionary piece, where God has sent them by the church to go into this place to do what? To bring life to where there's death, light where there's darkness. And they're doing it. And the enemy is mad. The enemy is angry. And so guess what the enemy will do? Well, I'm going to put a little bit more death on you. So what happens is they get beaten with rods. Not only do they get beaten with rods, but they're thrown in this deepest part of prison. Some folks say it's where the waist is. The waist lines up. You know, human waste. It's a dark, hard, bad place. Now they can go to that place and they can walk in agreement with the taker or the giver of life. They can do that. They can go down and get their in all the crud and all the junk and get chained up to the walls. And it's putrid, and it stinks, and it makes you vomit, and it makes you throw up, and it's a bad, bad place. And they can go to that place and walk right in agreement with the taker and start complaining and start grumbling and start murmuring and start questioning God and start saying things that should not be coming out of their mouths, because we belong to God, and why is God doing this, or why is God allowing this, or why are we in this place? Because we've surrendered to the call, and we've surrendered to an abundant life, and if this is abundant life, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. And that's how they could act. That's how they could respond. Did you know they had a choice to take death and adversity, life and the blessing? That's what eternal life people do. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're called to do. And you know, so what do? They do the one thing that they can do. They line up their lives with the giver of life. And you know what they do? They worship Him. And they thank God for the affliction. And they thank God for the beating. And they thank God for what? The opportunity to bring light into a dark, dark place. I don't know about you, but I think I'd be pretty weak at this point. Just to be honest with you, after being beaten with rods and thrown into a hellhole, I don't know if I could do what they did, except by the fact that eternal life dwells within me. And I pray to God that I choose to bring life to the dark place. Even after being beaten, even after being cursed, even after being treated the way they were treated. They bring life, and you know how they bring life to this place? They worship. They bring a worship service. So the verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison's house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." And he called for lights, and he rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord together with all in the house, and he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. The church at Philippi is birthed from a hellhole. And they could have chose death. They could have chose adversity. But they didn't choose that. They chose to thank their God and worship Him for this great opportunity to bring life to death. To bring a sweet aroma of Jesus amongst the stench. To bring peace where chaos ruled men's lives. And you could step back afterwards and say, yeah,
God made it all right. But what about in the middle of it? In the middle of it, can you say God is good? And because God is good, this is all good for His glory and for His honor. How many of you have been through horrible circumstances and you went through them and you got through them and you realized that God did something great with them? Well, let's have the foresight, not the hindsight, for the next trial and the next struggle to bring eternal life to places where there's eternal death. That's what Jesus is saying. I've given them this eternal life, and it's knowing Jesus. And when you know Jesus, it's enough. And when you have enough, yeah, listen, I'm not saying that they didn't get an upset stomach there. I'm not saying that down in that there was not stress. There was stress. I mean, if you get beaten with rods, there's stress on your body. I'm not saying that they didn't toy with worry and fear and anxiety. Please hear what I'm saying here. I'm not saying they went in A students, but they passed the test. And they brought life to where death was. They brought the sweet aroma of God. That's what eternal life people do. And that's the kind of pastor that I want to be. I want us as a church body to pray, God, may we be eternal life people today. May we be the kind of people, because you know where we're going, where we're going in this series is that not only does God give us this eternal life to live out, but He gives us His Word. He'll say, I give you these words so that my joy might be made in you. So want to be a people of the Word, the people of God's revelation. And then He'll say, and as you sent me, I send them. He's going to give us His mission. And then He's going to pray for the unity and the oneness of the church. That's where we're heading in this series. And we're going to look at that mission of going to dark places because we're the light of the world. You believe you're the light of the world? Then let your light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine for the glory of God. May we be eternal life people. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Father, You have given us life. And this life is knowing Jesus. It's knowing You. And I pray that we would be a people that bring this life to wherever we go this week. I pray, Lord, for this invitation. And the invitation right now is for us to take up the banner to do two things. To pray that we would be an eternal life church, and that, Father, we would be eternal life people, and that we would also, Lord, come to this place where we're so committed to bringing life to where death is. Tomorrow, Lord, our people are going to places that are dark. They're going to places where there'll be gossip. They'll be to places where there's grumbling and complaining about job. They'll go to places, Lord, where not good things are happening. And yeah, there'll be some good things happening. And there'll be some things that we go to tomorrow. That'll be fine and good. But Lord, we're going to places that people hurt. And they may not be in a physical dungeon, but they're in a spiritual dungeon today. And I pray that we choose life today. And we choose it by loving You with everything that we are, by listening to Your Word and responding to that Word and following hard after You. This is our life. I pray that we take up the mantle of life today and bring that life to where there's death. Jesus said, Lord, I thank You that You've heard my prayer. And then just a few minutes later, He'll cry out, Lazarus, come forth. And He'll go to the place of death, and He'll bring life. I pray that, Father, for our church today. As we go into the communities, as we go into prison this week, as we go to nations and are in nations this week, I pray that we would bring life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.